Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Politics Done Right. I am your host, Egberto Williams. This is the progressive program that will take the mystery out of politics. This is the program that will encourage you to make sure government becomes we the people. Whether you are liberal, conservative, or otherwise, you get to air your point of view. Remember, you can also send me a tweet to EGBERTOWILLIES. That is, at Egberto Williams. Let us engage. It is politics done right.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Well, folks, welcome to one more edition of Politics Done Right. I'm Egberto Willis, your host. Thank you so kindly for spending this 1 hour with me. We are going to have a great discussion. I just got through watching our great new potential leader, Brother Trump, addressing a black congregation. And it was an amazing thing. Of course, there's a whole lot of protests going on out there right now at this point in time, but Trump went into the midst of a black church, and he was very well received, and he gave a good little speech. And you know what? For most people, for those who know it, at least, it likely won't be going anywhere. For those, however, who know who Trump is, who knows what Trump has always been about, it is likely to be unsuccessful. But who knows? We've been wrong with Trump for a whole long time now. Trump has been doing his thing for a long time, and we have been wrong a lot. So whether he's successful or not, who knows? But folks, do remember this is a call-in show, and I'll repeat this as we go on, as we get more people to show up to actually watch the show. The telephone number is 646-929-2495. Again, that number, 646-929-2495. Hi, Lenny Hall. How are you doing? Good afternoon. More people join in. By the way, if you need to give me a message or tell me something, simply go ahead and type it on the screen if you want to. Otherwise, you can call our number. And you know what? Let me go ahead and place that number while more people show up. Let me go ahead and place that number into the thing. It's 646-929-2495. That's the number. Please call that number if you want to be on air. Of course, I'll be following whatever you put in the message queue, and I'll answer whatever questions you have. As you see, it's now in the queue. Again, that number is 646-929-2495. If you have any questions, go ahead and put the questions in there. Today, we're going to talk, what are we going to talk about? We're going to talk about, of course, Colin Kaepernick and the hoopla that's going on with that, what I call the unjustified hoopla that's going on for the protests that he's doing. Likewise, we're going to talk about Donald Trump and how it is that the media covers people making mentions of ills in this country differently. When Kaepernick says it, he's unpatriotic. When Brother Trump says it, somehow it is likely okay. That is something I think that we need to take seriously. That is something that I want to go into. But before I get into the blog of the week, I'd like to have more people come in beforehand. And by the way, I see John is on in, and a few other callers are already in. If you want to speak, please remember to push the number 1, and I'll know that you want to actually be a part of the conversation. But I tell you what, since people are starting to come on, and I have a full house on Blog Talk Radio, and we have a few people on Facebook Live, I am going to go ahead and give the preamble to what we're going to discuss. Again, I want to touch on one subject. There's a young lady, her name is, she has a show on Glenn Beck's Blaze. Her name is, what is her name? Her name is, Tomi Lahren. And a lot of people just hate her. They think she's a racist because of the things that she said. And I actually like listening to her, and I've covered her a couple of times because I think she has the pelotas, the balls to say the things that many are thinking but are not saying. And I think it is important for people to say things so that they can be corrected, if you will. So callers from 210 and 323, I will be with you. So let's get busy. You know how I generally start the blog of the week, right? It's time for the weekly blog post. Okay. Blog of the week is called Why I Like the Blaze. That's the Blaze Network. Tomi Lahren, who slammed Colin Kaepernick for national anthem boycott. And before anybody gets mad at me, by the way, I am on the side of Mr. Kaepernick, but I like this young lady for saying things many don't want to say. And at first I was going to play what she said, but I think the blog does a good job of it already. And it goes this way. I like Tomi Lahren because she says what many are thinking, which is necessary to have a conversation to correct damaging myths. Many see her as racist. I don't. I see her simply as a victim of systemic racism. You see, racism does not only affect people of color, it damages white people as well. If Tony, in Tomi's parlance, let me go ahead and eviscerate this mouth diarrhea for you sentence by sentence. So here we go. She stated, this country that allows you to speak your mind, you should remember, this country allows you to speak your mind. Theoretically, that is true, right? Economically, it is not. While Kaepernick may have been cut away or cut anyway because he exercised his free speech, like Muhammad Ali and others, he will pay for speaking out against the system financially. It is good that he has that $19 million financial cushion that others don't have. Many athletes, actors, engineers, lawyers, and other folks of color would love to speak up but can't because the price is too high. To be sure, this reality is not race-based, but gender-based. She said, the national anthem is colorblind. Lady, what planet are you living on? That could not be further from the truth. How can we blame Tomi, however, for this faux pas? Most of us do not know the genesis of the Star-Spangled Banner. One should read the article, Colin Kaepernick is Righter Than You Know. The national anthem is a celebration of what? Slavery. And that's a fact. In short, Francis Scott Key, a slave owner himself, wrote this in the third verse. No refuge could save the hireling and slave from the terror of the flight or the gloom of the grave, and the Star-Spangled Banner in triumph doth wave, or the land of the free and the home of the brave. He was referring to the freedom-seeking slaves in the third verse, a verse we no longer sing. There are patriots of every race, she says, there are patriots of every race that died for this country. True to that. But do remember that when black natives and other people of color returned, they were faced with the same racism they left after spilling blood for their country. They were redlined into creditless neighborhoods. They were lynched for wearing the uniform they served under. Many of today's Iraq and Afghanistan patriots still suffer the discrimination when applying for certain jobs. It is real. And saying it does not exist does not make it so. She says, if this country disgusts you too much, Mr. Kaepernick, why don't you just leave? Really, the right are generally the ones complaining the most about this country. Yet they are never asked to leave. Why? Because there is a nativist trend of people who believe there are some that have the legitimate right to be here while others are lucky to be here. Those lucky ones should simply accept the country as it is. Well, you know what, folks? Hell no. And hell no again. Hell no again. The country, hi, Mr. Barker. Hi, Mr. Scotto. The country belongs to us all, and protests about its shortcoming are the way to effect change. Don't forget that. She says, those that don't live under this flag are banging on the door to get in. Huh. Net illegal immigration from Mexico, the biggest source of the right's angst, is negative. In other words, folks are leaving. When foreigners from Canada, Europe, and countries with solid safety nets find out about the inhumane state of our social safety net, you know what they do? They don't leave home. That's a fact. They don't leave home. Who leaves secure health care and the ability to survive with dignity during hard times? Yes, people who come from other countries are banging on our doors for an opportunity where they have none. But many times we are banging on their doors for something else, But that is for another blog, folks. Another topic, she says, what have you done to make it better, Mr. Kapaner? What have you done in this country to make it better? Hey, Kaepernick spoke out, putting future wealth at risk. When someone who has the spotlight speaks out about systemic problems, you know what? They bring awareness. They wake people up. And you know what he did? He woke people up. What is your biggest message to black kids, people of color? That's what she's asking Kaepernick now. First of all, his message is not solely to black kids and people of color. It's Tommy Lahren implying that he can only speak to or will only be listened to by a subset of Americans? How condescending to white America. His message to all America is that we should all take risks to help bring light to what afflicts some of our American brothers and sisters. It is not about parading with victimhood with a victimhood chip. It is about opening eyes. It is about shocking Americans to reflect within and without. How can you blame white people for the problems of the minority community, she asks. Well, first of all minority communities are not aggrieved, though all suffer from the injustices of systemic racism. Again, not all communities. In fact, most black communities are just fine. Thank you very much. The problems are not caused by white people in the aggregate. It is caused by the culture of systemic racism. White people are simply a tool of the plutocracy to maintain the structure. I want to repeat that. White people are simply a tool of the plutocracy to maintain the structure. As I have mentioned before, systemic racism is a necessary tool in America to ensure that Americans keep their eyes off of the ball, those who are really screwing them. If they can fight among each other, they have no resources to fight against those that are extracting from them, the real pilferers, the plutocracy, folks. She then asks, aren't you half white and raised by parents who took you in after yours abandoned you? Cold, low blow, but expected. Why? I mean, low blow. And I bet he has the, and this is how I answered that one. And I bet he has the blessing of his white parents because they had to have seen through their son's eyes what it means to be a black person in America. I bet his parents were empathetic enough to look at Kaepernick and says, you know what, you've made it. Now do your part. Pay it forward. Bring an awareness to something that doesn't have the right type of awareness that it has right now. So Mr. Kaepernick, yes, you're doing the right thing. And there are hundreds, millions of white people right now that are on in his corner saying, we understand there's a problem here. We need to bring everybody else along to solve the real problems that are afflicting America right now. Okay, what did she say next? I mean, this one is funny. Maybe you should decline your earnings from white fans and white owners of the team. Why? Athletes, actors, or anyone working for someone else represents a profitable transaction that has little to do with love or color. That is why many of his fans, instead of maybe disagreeing with him, have developed an immediate hate. I hate that have them burn in his jerseys. You see, they love what they thought he represented. They hate that he is a man that can have a different opinion. As long as he is their puppy doing the things they like, hey, that is okay. Be the puppy dog. You know, today when you watched Donald Trump in the church, he called up Carson, Ben Carson, the the best neurosurgeon on the planet. He called him up like a little boy, like a little puppy. Hey, Ben, come, let me talk to you. You see, this dude is my friend. Ben Carson allowed himself to be used. Oh, you know, a lot of folks just enjoy the puppy dog treatment. Okay, now, who is getting away with murder? That's what she asked, because, you know, he talks about Black Lives Matter, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. This one is hard to crack because many Americans refuse to accept the reality that people of color are over-policed, profiled, and unjustifiably killed by police, even when it is on video. Some refuse to believe their eyes. But folks, I'm sorry to tell you, the studies are irrefutable. So if you doubt it, just read a bit. If you believe your eyes are lying to you, I can tell you that the stats are not lying to you. Her next point, Obama and liberals should be blamed for the plight of people of color. Oh, wow, we need to blame the presidente. Only one who does not understand government can make that claim. When an obstructive Congress refuses to pass bills that solve problems, a president or an entire administration has little recourse. That's a fact. That is why elections matter, and people need to believe that their vote can make a difference. Here at Coffee Party USA, we are having a program called Vote Anyway. Whether you like these folks or not, your vote matters not only at the presidential level, but at every level throughout government. And that's what we're stating here, folks. Vote anyway. She then says, Black people need to take responsibility for their own problems and stop blaming white people. Okay. Again, the vast majority of Black people are doing fine in spite of the headwinds of systemic racism. That said, Black people need white allies to solve the problems that were created by our white forefathers that linger to this day. The good thing is that slowly people are not only saying the politically correct thing, they are feeling from within that there is a problem that needs to be solved. And many more white people are understanding systemic racism for what it is, a metastasized cancer in the country created from its inception that has never, ever been extricated. As I write this, Tom Lahren has been viewed over 25 million times, shared over 785,000 times, and liked over 403,000 times. Many buy into her willfully uninformed arguments. We must push back with impunity, but we thank her for saying what many are thinking, for being one that necessarily opens up the scab a bit wider to help us get to the infection. So yes, I appreciate Tomi. I appreciate that she had the balls. That may be sexist, so I maybe just have to say something different. That she had the character to say what she really believes. Many folks that are thinking that do not. Before I go to the phones, and I'm coming to you guys now, I just want to make mention of one thing. Trump has done a whole lot, said a whole lot more negative things. First of all, Kaepernick didn't say anything negative of the country proper. He said stuff about policies that affect that unjustly affect a certain group of folks. But Trump has negatively spoken about this country many a times, as well overseas, several times. But no one ever holds him accountable for that. Folks, the telephone number 646-929-2495. Again, that number is 646-929-2495. And you can leave me messages as well. You can go visit Politics Done Right on Facebook, Politics Done Right with Egberto Willis on Facebook. And we are streaming it live there. And if you have questions, you can just put the questions or you want to make comments, you can just put the comments right there into the post. And I'll be sure to speak about it and address you on air. But anyhow, right now we have, I think this is John from San Antonio, correct, John?
Yes, it is. Good afternoon, Egberto.
How are you doing, my friend?
I'm good, and it's an excellent blog post. Really enjoyed it.
Thank you, sir.
I guess the one thing that I do disagree with, though, is that I'm not sure if you know, if she's actually, I mean, obviously she has a right to speak just like everybody else. But, I mean, what you're saying is that it's a good thing for her to spout her racist views. And I guess the pushback that I would like to give is that there are a lot of people, you know, who've been exposed to racist views, you know, throughout their whole life, you know, and I was exposed to a lot of racist views, you know. My father had land in the country that we went to, you know, consistently, almost every weekend, all growing up, and there were a lot of racist views that I saw. I went to Robert E. Lee High School in San Antonio, which is still up and operating. And, but I mean, I just don't, there are a lot of people that have this idea that are like, you know, have some racial ideas in their minds,
right?
But they know it's socially unacceptable. And so now that Trump has made it more socially acceptable, you know, you're saying that that's a good thing because we can have a conversation about it. But what I'm saying is that, you know, would really be better if they came to the conclusion, you know, through an intellectual means that their ideas are wrong. And
now,
so
let me stop you for 1 second there, because I think in the real world you would be absolutely correct. But I think, you know, first of all, if you follow some of the stuff that I said in the blog, the tenet is that racism is a tool, and even Tomi is a tool that's reflecting what the plutocracy has imposed on us. Because people think racism is just racism. People don't like others. I mean, if we had a country from the beginning that cherished diversity in the beginning, by now we would have outgrown that innate part of us that when people look substantially different from us, we treat them differently. But because that was never done, you know, we are still left with those problems. And what happens now is because of, in a lot of ways, political correctness, and this is in my opinion at least, let me tell you what I like. I have friends that I know are really would be considered racist. I like these people because I know that is how they were trained, that is how they were designed, that is how things were placed in their heads. And my goal is to, through by example, by teaching, as you just said as well, why the way they feel is senseless. I have to get there, but for me to know that that is even there, I have to know that it's there. And what I'm saying with Tomi is articulating, maybe she's just a pawn as well, which, you know, saying somebody wrote that for her, because as a young woman, she probably doesn't even believe half the stuff that she's saying. She's on blades, you know, but it allows the conversation, in my opinion, to occur. And in you and I talking about this right now, and other people watching and listening to the blog that I post, most of the folks aren't going to go on TV or going to write and say, I understand what you're saying, but it will be a part of their psyche for analysis in the long run, I believe. Your point.
Perhaps. I mean, I'm just saying that, you know, when Obama was elected, I thought this was a great, great moment, you know, because, I mean, not just because he was a black man, but because, you know, he had really good ideas. I've been a little bit disappointed by what he's done, but I mean, in some ways I was very happy with what he's done. So, I mean, he obviously has a mixed record, but, you know, I just thought that this was, you know, incredible, you know, that America had, you know, come to this realization that, you know, we can elect, you know, the most qualified person regardless of their race. And I thought that was a great, great moment. And I know you were at the inauguration, right?
I was. Oh,
and so, yeah. I mean, I think you felt the same way. And I think a lot of people really felt the same way. And his approval ratings were really high at that point. And then the backlash began.
Right.
And, you know, and so now, you know, 4 years or 8 years later, we have this backlash that is, you know, giving rise to Trump, who, you know, represents the worst of everything, in my opinion, in America.
Right.
And
ask you a question. Let me ask you a question. Don't you think that what Trump, and 323, I'm coming to you next. I haven't forgotten you on. And folks, please do remember this is a call-in show, 646-929-2495. Or if you have messages, you can also write it here on Facebook, and I'll answer them, or just acknowledge you on Facebook and acknowledge you on air. Okay, my question to you is, don't you think that those feelings, because my contention is a large percentage of the people that voted for Obama are still with Obama. I think, you know, the polls say that. But I also believe that a lot of those bad feelings that we see from people today, the Trump followers, I think they were always there. So don't you think that it is good that, you know, we bring those out so that we can actually address them overtly?
I don't think so. I mean, I think that, like I said, people have, you know, these mixed ideas in their mind. And I think that there's a certain, it's a good thing to have, I mean, to be socially unacceptable. I think it is a good thing. It's a good thing that it's socially unacceptable to be, you know, against women. It's a good thing to be socially unacceptable, you know, against LGBTQ people. I mean, you know, I kind of wonder, you know, I mean, it's the same thing as far as, you know, racial ideas also. I mean, I think we can have a debate about it, but unfortunately, you know, I mean, there are some people that you can win over in a debate, but a lot of people, you know, aren't, you know, I mean, they're pretty extreme opinions. I mean, this is taught, you know, hopefully at a very young age, you know, and I know it's taught in like kindergarten in most schools that, hey, you know, this is, you accept people on the merit of their existence and how they treat other people. I mean, that's the famous King quote. And it should be taught. And so, I mean, so when you go against that, I mean, you're kind of going against what society is accepting. And obviously in the Deep South, it's a little bit different. And so,
ask you to hold your thoughts a bit. And I'm keeping your mic hot, and I want to bring in 323. 323, who do I have the honor of speaking with?
It's Max over in L.A.
Max in L.A., how you doing, my friend? Your thoughts?
I just wanted to say hello. ¿Cómo estás, Alberto?
Estoy muy bien. ¿Cómo estás?
I'm very good, brother. I just wanted to say, you know, call in and participate in this little discussion because it is good to have it. In some sense, I don't know that I can agree with saying that people like Ms. Tomey or
Tomey,
that her position's being aired in this, you know, the way it's presented, right? So we look at the presentation. The presentation is this very pretty girl with this narrative. And it gets disseminated, and it's backed by those that have the power.
So, I think maybe that is sort of what John was alluding to. He probably thinks that it is staged, and it may create more problems than it solves. So I want to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say. That it's my thoughts are the whole position of, I mean, the structure of power that we have here in the United States has been this way for centuries, which is this very like powerful elite uses these divisive narratives to confuse us and separate us and pit us against each other.
Right.
Now, people like Tomey are the result of that. They are people who have been exposed to this their whole lives and are indoctrinated into this narrative of kind of this subversive white supremacist supremacy. Now, there is no way, and absolutely no way, that arguing with it is ever going to fix it, because that's basically talking about it or talking with them about it, because the way this, I mean, the way these things happen, like this racism, it's usually through propaganda and media and exposure to it on a level where they're by themselves with it, and then it programs them. So you and me arguing or talking with them, the only thing that offers is them shutting down, and there's just no way to reprogram or fix the situation with them like that. So the only way to actually approach and help and fix our brothers and sisters is to find opportunities where we can help expose them to truthful media and leave them on their own without having to say anything to them, because otherwise it shuts them down, automatically closes those doors. We just have to find a way to get them exposed to truthful media so that they can kind of find a way to reprogram themselves, let nature take its course, because this whole situation that's been going on, it all has to do with the fact that the right wing, the ruling class, has seized all propaganda that's out there, television, radio, you know, anything that has to do with access to information, that they've seized it, and you know, they're disseminating this empirical indoctrination, and they use all these devices like racism and, you know, these self-contradictory issues like, you know, oh, black people, they should look at this, you know, stop blaming, you know, white people for their problems, and then they're like, oh, you know, these goddamn immigrants, you know, they're our problem, they're the problem. It's just so, like, obviously flawed, the views, but they can't open the doors up because they keep everything compartmentalized, and that's how neurosis works. You know, you compartmentalize all these weird, conflicting views within yourself, and you become this kind of, you know, like this walking, this walking like Wi-Fi like infection, just spouting, and it is completely dangerous and destructive to the population, because a lot of the population is walking around like this. Look at Clarence Thomas. Look at what was this guy from Florida? West. Look at Marco Rubio. Look at all these people that are basically walking around, really believing this this narrative of they separate the humanity from themselves. Or they don't look in the mirror. They don't see who they are. They just repeat and regurgitate this narrative, and it just shows that it's kind of like too late to talk about it. You know,
right.
There's no way you're going to be able to talk this sense to them. There has to be something more extreme done, and it has to be something like, here is some truth. If you have a chance to view it, like it has to be. And the only way we're ever going to be able to fix ourselves is when we get, as a population, the 99% finds a way to seize that propaganda back and start disseminating the truth, because that's what we've lost. We've lost the device that helps either free the mind or enslave the mind.
Right. And I think that's what we're trying to do here, Max. And that is, now I take a minor exception to one thing, in that I have a bit more hope. I think that people are, I think one of the reasons that a lot of this has failed, you know, trying to talk to people and have their minds changed or whatever, is that I think the messengers have not had not acquired the rapport with those who with people, the people that they're trying to convince. In other words, one of the things that I talk a lot, and I think you hear me say this a lot on my KPFT show, John, is that I try to, one of my goals is to try to earn the respect of my opponent before I completely come across with all the issues that I want to talk about, so that while I'm talking, they're listening, as opposed to while I'm talking, they're trying to find the next break to find, you know, to interrupt and tell me why I'm wrong, or why the way that I'm saying certain things aren't that way. So my bottom line is I hope, and what I'm trying is to first build trust with those that I'm trying to convince otherwise, and with the expectation that if one builds trust, you can trust and respect, you can go forward. Folks, this is the call-in show as well. You can give us a call at 646-929-2495. Again, that number is 646-929-2495. 2495. And if you're watching us on Facebook Live, go ahead and if you have a comment you want to make or you want to put a statement in or whatever, just drop it onto the post where you're watching and I'll see that and we can talk to you. John, you want to add to that at all?
Yeah, I think a lot of what Max said, I agree with completely. I think that I'm somewhere in the middle between, you're kind of like the Republican whisperer here, and I'm Max is saying there's no point in having a conversation. I'm kind of in the middle, saying, I mean, if you look at movements, you know, that have been successful. You know, there has to be a media wing. I mean, you look at the abolitionists, you look at the suffragettes, you look at the civil rights movement. I mean, they all convinced people that, and I think Black Lives Matter is doing this also to a certain degree. Go ahead.
I think that may have been misunderstood a little bit in this situation. What I meant to say is that there's no point in having a conversation with them. There's no point in having a conversation, period, like what Egberto is doing. You can have a conversation, but arguing about the subject is kind of pointless. That's what I meant. You should have conversations with them. You should open the doors of communication with them, because I do understand what Egberto is doing. Egberto is a hopeless optimist who will always look at the you can reach somebody by there is just you'll always be able to reach somebody, and you know, if you just try, and the way he better approaches it is through communication and respect and opening up those lines, and you know, I do agree with that, and you know, in a certain sense, what I disagreed with that's what I kind of agree with you, that they're given this platform to spout this hatefulness, and it doesn't necessarily open up a conversation in a good way, because it disseminates more of the same stuff that's been going on, and because it's presented in this way, this package, disarms you. Yeah.
Max, both you and John have a point, and as you guys are articulating this, I have to agree with a portion of this where we say, you know, by giving a platform, sometimes it can be problematic, right? Because I think you read the piece, John, that I wrote for Daily Coast, where I said that Donald Trump ripped the scab off on the country, and by ripping that scab off, we can actually have the conversation and open up, you know, kind of open up folks for learning. But at the same time, he's also using that platform to spew misinformation, and that can also be deadly. That can also be detrimental.
Yes.
That can actually reverse a lot of what we are trying to do. So I guess what I have to
It's terrifying. We're leading ourselves into a terrible situation over the world is going to take terrible retribution against us because we aren't stopping ourselves from this. These people are walking around with these red cakes of Roman empirical indoctrination, and they just
Yes.
You know, they're it's like looking at the Romans, you know, they're just constantly marching. They got that eagle on top of it, on top of their, you know, staff, and they're like, yeah. And it's like, no, man, we're citizens of Earth.
Right. Well, you know what?
We have to figure out how to love each other without, you know, but the mindset is just it's like trying to find the record button on a tape. You know, this tape is kind of like, they're just closed off. I'm at a loss because people like Putin are talking about it. Like, hey man, you guys are gonna drive us into World War III. You know, it's really scary. And they have this platform. They have every, you know, like Chris had just said, it's a cabal.
Chris Hedges is right, but I have a minor problem with Chris Hedges. I mean, if you read all of Chris Hedges' stuff, Chris Hedges, and I saw him, I introduced him at the Houston Peace and Justice Center when he came earlier this year or last year. He thinks it's a for you know, he's very pessimistic. He thinks it's all a lost cause, Chris Hedges, that is. And I'm a bit more optimistic than that. John, what do you have to say about that?
Well, Chris Hedges is a great intellect. There's no doubt about that. I mean, I agree with you. I think he's a little bit pessimistic. You know, I think he has a lot of great good points about the plutocracy and about the history of our country. And, you know, I mean, but we have to fight against that. And so, I mean, that's why I was so encouraged about the, you know, the Bernie movement. You know, I thought that was a great movement. And I think it's going to continue. And as far as, you know, the big question
now it's
for
the
me.
The Jill Stein movement, by the way.
Well, you know, it's, I mean, she has a lot of good ideas, but, you know.
Come Monday when you start something for Hillary, trust me, you'll feel that way.
Well, I've done a lot of research on this for many, many years, so this isn't my first rodeo on this. I mean,
Let me ask you to pause a second, and I want to make mention, you know, earlier you mentioned about Bernie's Sanders movement continuing, but I don't know if I told folks on air this yet, but we had at my home an Our Revolution meeting on the day that, you know, I don't remember what day that was. I think the 20-something of August, where we all had 2,600 events throughout the country. We actually had one of Our Revolution movements here at my home. We had about, in my place here, we had about 13, 14 people. And throughout Kingwood and other areas here in Texas, there were a whole lot of these things. So At first I was concerned that maybe the movement would die or that people would just throw their hands up and say it's all over. It wasn't. And in fact, a couple of the folks that were here as well were Hillary Clinton people that that came because they understand that what we're doing is it goes beyond Bernie Sanders. It goes beyond Hillary Clinton. It goes beyond Trump. It's about us really being a part of the body politic, and not only being a part of the body politic, but being really involved in elections and really involved with who we put into office. So it was a good kickoff. And I think as we raise the awareness, things will change. But we have two things that we have to take care of, because one is, in fact, political. We have political issues where the politics is, you know, people in politics aren't following the will of the people. But we also have that social justice, racial justice issue that has to be an integral part of the things that we discuss, because, again, those problems aren't going away. You want to add to that, John?
No, definitely. Definitely. And, you know, I agree with you. I mean, it's good to see, you know, I mean, I think the media has kind of portrayed the Our Revolution as, you know, is really negative, you know, and I'm not I mean, I understand, you know, the split between the Weaver Group and the younger, you know, staffers who don't want to take corporate money, and I actually empathize with them more, you know, because, I mean, they're the future. But, you know, I don't really know that much about, you know, a Weaver's managerial style. I mean, they all seem pretty negative about it. But, I mean, what's most important are the issues, you know, and so let's – I mean, as the media focuses on, you know, the turmoil in the campaign, you know, let's remember, you know, what Bernie brought up as the issues. And, I mean, it's not – you're right, it's not just about Bernie, but, I mean, Bernie just represented, you know, these ideas, you know, in the incarnation of the ideas as a possible president. And
right.
And nobody has gotten as much publicity. Nobody's even come close. And so, I mean, so that was just incredible because, I mean, as much as I hoped that this would happen, you know, it was really a distant dream. I really, you know, yeah, he's going to do great, but really, you know, is he really? And you know, he ended up getting, you know, 43% of the vote, which is incredible. And the millennials, you know, are just
46. Don't take his points away now, 46.
Yeah, okay. Well, I mean, I hear different points. But, I mean, either way, I mean, he did really well. And so, you know, and so, so I mean, it's just, I think that's the real, the movement that we need to focus on, I mean, personally. I mean, but, you know, I also think as far as the thing about Trump, I think when Trump loses, that I think that's going to be a real interesting perspective because,
I am concerned. Go ahead. I'll come in after you. Go ahead.
Because, you know, I think one of the reasons why he was able to give the overt racism the big push that he did is because of his money. I mean, people already identified with him from The Apprentice, and they have identified with him as a rich guy, and a lot of people in the right wing, they think that, like, rich guys are have some kind of special quality. I mean, I don't understand it. It doesn't make any sense, but, I mean, that's what they do believe. I mean, in fact, there was a poll, you know, done right after the 2010 election where they – Newsmax, that great journalistic organization, did a poll. And so they and they had all these celebrities there, and and basically they had three rich guys that they polled, and Warren Buffett did the best, Bill Gates did the second best, and Trump did the third best. And I think that has to I mean, it was actually Petraeus out of everybody did better than anybody. But, I mean, because they had all kinds of celebrities, you know, they had, like, Rush Limbaugh and O'Reilly. But, I mean, my point about the three rich guys is that they – I mean, people know that, like, Warren Buffett is the most rich. They know Bill Gates is the second most rich. They know that Trump is – yeah, he's got a lot of money. But, you know, and so they really identified with it, which is just ridiculous. But I mean, that's give my point is that when Trump loses, and I, you know, is this overt racism? Is it going to be acceptable in politics? And I'm really hoping, and I really think also that it won't be. I think that overt racism won't be acceptable because we really, I mean, you see dog whistle racism, which is bad enough. But overt racism.
It's going to be selective to use. Because I think Trump proved that it could be used in certain parts of the country, and I think it will continue to be selectively used.
Can I say something?
Yeah, go ahead, Max.
So I just wanted to go back to something that we I mentioned Chris Hedges, and it was like, oh, Chris Hedges is too pessimistic. But, I mean, if you look at what Chris Hedges is doing, Chris Hedges is basically he is part of a extremely thoughtful academic view of our society.
Yes.
And, you know, people say he's pessimistic. An academic, I don't think academics are pessimistic by nature. I think they are realists. And what he's presenting to us is an alarm, and he's saying to us that we have crossed the Rubicon. We are letting ourselves speak ourselves into self-destruction.
Let me stop you one quick second here, Max. Let me just ask you to give me one little second here, because here's what happened.
Okay.
I sat at the table with Chris Hedges a few months ago, and after he gave his speech, right? I introduced him, and then he came back to the table. He gave his speech, and after he gave his speech, I looked at him and I said, "Wow, it seems to me like you have no hope. What about elections?" And he said, he threw his hands up in the air and he said, "Well, you know, elections don't matter all that much. What all we can hope for is to really change things on the fringes, meaning, you know, local election here, a local election there, etc." Now, if I honestly live my life believing that, with, you know, I'll probably go back to Panama or something like that, because I know that he has studied populations and he studied movements, etc. But all movements behave the same until they don't. And that is what I think that's what I told him, if I remember correctly. It's like, you know, I mean, I can't argue with what he knows. He's knowledgeable on the issues. However, everything behaved the same until at some point it doesn't behave that way again. Our elections followed a particular pattern until it hadn't, meaning Donald Trump. So, you know, so there's always that caveat in there, Max. Okay, sorry for interrupting you, Max.
Yeah, but what is he, this is what I think maybe people are compartmentalizing, maybe even you, I'm not sure. So what he's presenting is The extreme nature of the compartmentalization that we are experiencing in society. We're saying to ourselves, you know, there is hope. We can somehow resolve this.
Right.
And you know, this is what we do. What he's seen is we cross the Rubicon. The planet is in peril that we are all going to freaking die. So he's come to a position where he's at the edge of when whatever does happen, he wants to probably be, you know, head beheader of the oligarchs for the destruction of the what they're doing. I mean, mm-hmm. I could see his anger and his rage
coming
through because we are looking at the dynamics of our social communication instead of, hey, the severity of the preservation of our life as the situation. So at what point do we say enough talk? You know, and that's what he's saying. He's saying, hey, man, the mind needs to change. We need to look at this in a very serious way. You know, when does the point of no more talk start? Because we talk ourselves into the corner of self-destruction. And what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And so that's the mindset he's trying to bring to people. Like, you know what? Because the liberal speak will come and it'll hedge its way into our consciousness to the point where they stifle the revolution. And so that's what he's saying. Like, I don't want to hear any more of that. I don't want to hear any more liberal speak. I want real leftist progressivism. And it needs to be action instead of talk.
Well, you know,
and it's not pessimism. That's realism. He's telling us we're going to die. If we don't do something. And he already knows this. And that's his academic perspective. Go ahead.
Let me just bring in something from somebody listening. Donna Bomber, it's a little change of subject, but she says, and I think it's a long thing, so let me. She says that my thought is that Trump will completely collapse at the debate, that he has no grasp of the issues, domestic or foreign, and will not in any way be able to come off as intelligent or equal. And let me push more because I think she has more to say. Yeah, equal. Then she says, as it happens, he will lose huge majority of his followers who will either flip to Hillary, doubtful, not vote at all, bad, or vote for Gary Johnson, equally bad. Do you have any thoughts about the upcoming debate and this possible outcome? I'm going to tell you what I think about the debate, Donna. And here's the thing. First of all, I think the debate, he's going to do terribly bad. He'll do a bad job in the eyes of those of us who know things, like yourself, John, Max. He'll do terrible in the debate. However, I think the media will spin any minor mistake that Hillary does or has as a major problem. And I think any positive thing that comes out of Trump will be spun as a huge look at how he looked presidential. It's like he went to Mexico and all he had to do is stand next to a president, not say crazy things, and that made him acceptable to many in the media that he looked presidential. Who the hell cares about looking presidential? You know, so Donna, so my thought is you're correct in the way many of us feel. My fear is that the media will look at a Trump debate, and if he has a modicum of good stuff going, they'll highlight all the positives he's done, and they'll hit Hillary for any minor mistakes that she makes. So your thoughts, John?
I think that's basically correct. You know, I'm hoping that Clinton will, you know, it seems like she's kind of lost her way. I mean, she's not on the stump. She's spending too much money fundraising. You know, the polls are reflecting that.
I think
she needs to talk about economic values. I mean, I know
Let me tell you, I want to interrupt you right here because I've been hearing that narrative on TV and it's driving me crazy. And let me tell you why. I think Hillary is doing the right thing, believe it or not. Hillary is keeping a low profile. Hillary is raising money like hell. after Labor Day. Look, nobody is really listening right now. Things are in flux. As long as her numbers don't tank, she's going to keep doing what she does. Now, come next week, and mark my word, next week, the onslaught on Trump begins. Mark my word. I don't mean, you know, the week after we get away from these holidays and the movement goes away from the hurricane and all of that, watch what's going to occur. She's going to be coming out full blast, and, you know, whether it's going to work on making her numbers go up, I don't know, but I think it probably will work on making him go down. There's a lot of things in the pipeline with Trump right now, and you notice that they are putting a little feelers out there. His mob, going to the mob party, the party of a mobster, you know, the don't think the university story is dead. And so there's a lot of things about Trump that they simply don't want to oversaturate early, because what happens, right, is 3 months you hit Trump up on all these issues and he starts to rebuild on defending them, and his defense starts to nip at people who simply don't like Hillary, or nip on people who want to give this guy the benefit of the doubt. So you come across, you lead too early. It's not a good thing, in my opinion. I think it's down the stretch, and I think that's where she's going to be. What do you think, Max? I know you're not a Trump supporter, but, you know.
No, no, I think that the reason they're both successful and what they're doing is that we validate them. With the fact that we're even giving them a platform here, because we all know it's a fake ground show, what's going on with both parties.
Max, let me push back a little bit, because first of all, you're right. Yeah, we are giving
we're validating them.
In our world, right, Max? In our world.
They wouldn't succeed without us validating them.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. But here's the problem. Until you and I do our job, you, myself, John, Donna, everybody else do our job to have enough people support people that really has our values, that really believes in the real progressiveness that this country needs. Until we get there, we haven't done our job yet. And I have to make the best choice that I have right now, in my opinion. You have to make the best choice in your opinion. But in my opinion right now, I have to support all those families that have to have Affordable Care Act, that have to have that in the interim. It's not a good thing. It's not the best thing, but they need it right now. I am looking at that Supreme Court justice right now. Yes, it's not going to be the one that I get, but I sure as hell don't want another Scalia out there. So these are the things that I look at. And then after that, I say, how do I get there? How do I get there? I am, you know, philosophically, we are on the same team. All of us are on the same team philosophically. Now, we differ in how. Go ahead, Max.
But there's no. Like, every time you turn on the television, you're validating them. Every time you turn on the radio, you're validating them. Every time you offer any kind of support or ear to them, you're validating them. So they're always going to succeed as long as we validate them.
But here's what I'm saying.
You say we have a job to do, but our job as citizens, I believe, is to not validate them.
Max,
not offer them any kind of ear.
We have 2 minutes left on the show, Max. So let me tell you what I want to say here real quick. As soon as this election is over, you, myself, John, and everybody, we start pulling for the candidates one at a time that are going to make a difference. Max, I need you to give me a 15-second closer.
Yes. People need to stop paying for their own brainwash. They need to cut their cable. They need to cut everything that has to do with validating this two fake party narrative. It's all one party, and it's a right-wing party, and it's a ruling-class 1% party.
Here, my friend. Thank you for calling. Thank you. John, give me 15 seconds because I got a closer I got to give as well.
It's nice to live in an ideological world, but in the real world, you know, we may not get the exact person that we want to be president, but we got to vote for the person who's going to do the least amount of damage. And the ideological world is a great world to live in, but the real world does not have great choices right now.
Thank you for being with me, John. Max, love to have you guys on. All my callers on Facebook, I love you. Thank you for calling. Please remember to share these programs.
Love it, bye, brother.
Muchas gracias, hermano. And please keep following and keep coming back. Yeah. My name is Egberto Willis. Politics Done Right, and you guys have a wonderful day. We will have it again la semana próxima, next week. My Facebook friends, thank you very much for being with me. Please remember, go ahead and share these programs. We are only going to make a change politically in this country if we actually together be our own media and do the things that we have to do. Absent that, we're going nowhere. So we have to remember that in this country,